But we thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your grace. We thank you for the blood, your name, and your word. We thank you for the price of Jesus. We thank you for never giving up on us when we've given up on you. Thank you. Thank you that you're faithful even when we're faithless. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness today in every area where we've offended you. Wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit. As I send your word to each and every one that's here today, that by the stripes of Jesus you be made completely whole, healed, delivered, freed, justified, sanctified, and glorified in Christ. Because of the price he paid for you, not because of anything you've done, but everything that he's done. And we decree over this property and over this park, we take this property and park in the name of Jesus. And everyone that comes on this park, we decree that their soul be taken by Christ and be loosed by demonic forces and the devil. We decree it, we agree it, and so it is. And Lord, we ask that you grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that's from above, that we may be severed from the things from beneath. And grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and our heart to receive what your Spirit says, that you may be glorified in each and every temple here. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go around, hug somebody, tell them it's your day. Okay, now you can finish it and tell everybody it's your day to die. Hallelujah. How's everybody? You got that right. Confession brings possession. We're blessed and highly flavored. You know, we've been talking about in this time that we're in, about overcoming by the power of God. And it's the only way you're going to be able to overcome is through the power of God. You know, intellectually, you always lose. It's the power of God that allows you to overcome. And that's why the word must always be backed by the anointing. If the word's not backed by the anointing, the overcoming isn't going to happen. That's all you'd be as a seed planter. And that's where the written word, known as the Logos, becomes Rhema, when it's spoken and backed by the Spirit of God. That's why when you and I are baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Breath of God is in us. When we speak it, it's Rhema. It is life-changing. And it goes forth and pierces the spirit, soul, and body of an individual. And it discerns and it exposes the individual's thoughts. But it first must be backed by the anointing. Does everybody understand that? It's important. This is how we're overcoming. That's how the prophets overcome in the book of Revelations, don't they, to do prophets? They speak it. Jesus overcame in the wilderness by speaking it. You will resist the devil by speaking it. People get healed by speaking it. Turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 12, please. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Let's read it together. And it says, in what? War broke out in heaven. Where's war? In heaven. What's heaven mean? Spiritual realm. So there's a war going out in the spiritual realm. The only reason why you're seeing the war going out in the physical realm is because it's already manifesting in the spiritual realm. So what you see, whatever's manifested in the natural realm is already happening in the spirit realm. There's a war going on. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail. So we know the end result is that we already have the victory. Hallelujah. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. Eventually, during tribulation, demonic forces will become physical. Are you listening? God is going to cause all spiritual arena to become physical. They'll be seen. Everything. There won't be nothing left spiritually. It'll be all come physically. And people will be demonized so intently that it'll become physical. Demonic forces will put on flesh. Angels of Satan will be putting on flesh. All kinds of things are going to be happening during that period of time. That's why many people will be misled. That's why many false prophets will be appearing and all kinds of other things. Because in the spiritual realm, they'll be forced to come into the physical realm. Everybody all right? Aren't you glad you won't be here then? Hallelujah. As long as you're right with God. In verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of what? Old, called the what? The devil. And Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want to share something very important, because, you know, many people don't even believe the Bible. But I'm going to tell you something very important. As an eyewitness, not from any man, not from anything I read, but from God Almighty. 15 years ago, I had a visitation from the Lord, and he told me his word was true. So you, everyone that's here today has no excuse. The word of God is true. Whether you believe this or not, doesn't matter. I'm telling you, God told me that this word is true. I didn't hear it from a man. I didn't hear it from an angel. I heard it from the Lord God Almighty. And the first words out of his mouth was, "Guy, my word is true." Has everybody got it? So this Bible is true. If you choose not to believe it, that's up to you. But I'm telling you, you'll stand before God one day and he'll say, "Didn't my servant tell you my word was true? Why did you not receive it? Why did you not read it? And why did you not know it?" Before he casts you to hell. Hello? Good. Let's go forward now. I just wanted to make that perfectly clear. So if you didn't believe what you're reading, you're an idiot. Glory to God. And you call me an idiot? Yep. You'll be called worse than that when you get to hell. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to verse 9. So we make this perfectly clear. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." And they overcame him. Who did they overcome? Satan's kingdom. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Now let's go a little further, because this is good. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, O you and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time, he has what? A short time. Wow. But he says, rejoice, you who are in heaven. In other words, when this happens, we'll be in heaven. God willing, for some of us, we'll be in heaven. But those who are left behind, woe. Woe. That's big warning. Now, there's something he says that we overcome by, right? Three things that are important. It's called the blood of the what? The Lamb. The word of our testimony. And did not love their lives to death. Now, this is powerful. Because this whole chapter in verse 12, if you read the whole chapter, it's talking about Satan's kingdom. And who's fighting against the body of Christ. Now, we overcome by the blood. The blood is also representation that through repentance, the blood is activated. The blood purifies and the blood reconciles us back to God. Do you understand that? So if an individual is walking in sin without repentance, is the blood being activated? No. So if you think that you're out there doing whatever and you're not repenting for it, now the word repent means to turn from it, and you expect to overcome the devil, you won't. Because the first thing that the word says is they overcome by the blood. In other words, the blood saying is I am turning away from what I'm doing. Listen, if you got to hide something, it ain't God. Hello? Why? Because the Bible tells us that we're to bring all hidden shame into the light. So if there's something you got to hide, it ain't God. Well, nobody will know. Oh, really? How about God? You may think you're tricking man, but you ain't tricking daddy. So you overcome by the what? the blood. That means repent. The blood purifies and the blood reconciles. So if you're living in adultery, are you having victory? No. If you're out of divine order, are you having victory? No. Well, you can play all religion you want, but you ain't right. So the blood is the first thing. Has everybody got it? The second thing it says that, and they, by the word of their what? Testimony. The word testimony means the ministry of the Spirit, because you are given testimony of Christ. You are given testimony of your life. You are speaking the word of God. It is that testimony. It's the ministry of the Spirit. It is the breath. So we are the ministry of the holy breath of God. So you overcome by the blood. You overcome by speaking. Because remember, we just said that the word of God exposes, doesn't it? It pierces even the spirit, soul, and the body. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the mind, doesn't it? So if the word is truly spoken out, if you're really reconciled to God through the blood, then you will overcome and you will have spiritual victory in every circumstance. And the final thing is the denying your selfish ambitions. So we overcome by the blood, but a word of the testimony, and by denying our selfish ambitions or denying ourselves. So everybody got it. This is spiritual victory. Now I want to share something with you important, because the Bible says that the ruler of this world is Satan and his kingdom. And that many people are blinded by Satan's kingdom. So what we're doing in this spiritual victory, we are overcoming secularism. Secularism. And it is a society without reverence to God. So right now, we live in a society with no reverence to God. We are overcoming secular thinking. Everybody say secular thinking. Is of the devil. Praise God. Now, secular thinking, one of the things that the devil likes to do is establish idols in your heart through secular thinking. Secular thinking will establish idols in your heart, and you'll be the first idol, because the only person you'll think about is you. Then it goes on. Materialism and everything else. Is everybody okay? Now, how do we overcome? Through the what? The blood. And the blood is a representation of repent, turn away. Be washed by the blood. Why? Because the blood always goes before the Spirit of God. If the blood isn't there, the Spirit waits. If there's no repentance, the Spirit backs off. Well, yeah, but the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't. He's still there. But you're not cooperating with him, and he isn't cooperating with you. Hello? And that's when familiar spirits jump in and exchange the Holy Spirit for a familiar spirit. And a familiar spirit will give you goosebumps and everything else. It'll make you feel good, but it'll make you act like a granola. You'll become rebellious, disobedient, and fear will grip you. Is everybody okay? Good. Revelation chapter 2. So we overcome by the blood, the testimony, denying yourself, and we're overcoming what? Secular thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is, right? That's reason. That's why the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is associated with secularism. Revelation 2, start at verse 1. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, this is a church he's writing this to, right? These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and they have found them what? Liars. And you have persevered, and they have patience, and they have labored for my namesake, and they have not become weary. Wow. Sounds like a good church. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have what? Left your first love. In other words, you got so busy into doing, you forgot about who's doing it. Not you, him. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. What does he say? Repent. What does that mean? The blood, right? Does everybody see this? What he's saying, listen, you've lost your first love. Listen, nothing ever goes wrong in your life unless you lose your first love. I'm not saying things that aren't going to happen. But the reason why people don't have victory and overcome is because they've lost their first love. Because if you hold on to your first love, conviction is there. Obedience is there. Submission is there. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but it means you'll fly right back quickly, right into his arms, if you haven't lost your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. That is the anointing. From its place, unless you what? Repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who what? Overcomes, I will give to what? Eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let me tell you, what you eat is what you are. And without eating of the tree of life, you cannot live in this realm. Is everybody okay? So Satan tries to cause us to leave our first love in every area. That's his job. He preaches this love and replaces it with lust of the world. The only way to maintain life is to eat of the tree of life. So that means you must maintain your first love. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Praise God. Go to Romans 8. I know you're busy writing. Okay, good. Amen, because everything you learn, you should be able to teach. Paper doesn't forget. God's going to check your notebook when you get home. And Romans 8:12. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to what? Now, living according to the flesh is secular thinking. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what?
Yes.
You'll live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? So as many as are not led by the Spirit of God are sons of the devil. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, and that means daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The spirit of bondage of fear, Abba, Father, means hanging on to your first love. Hanging on to your first love. Remember, the devil loves a breach love, doesn't he? But the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. So if you're in bondage of fear, it's because you've, one of the things is you've lost your first love. You get back into God's love. And the perfect love will cast out fear. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible also says that the Lord's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So if the devil can replace God's love with lust, you will fall into fear. Fear. And fear grips an individual. It's something that we must overcome. But we overcome it by the love of Christ, by the power of God, because of your relationship with him. Because you've not lost your first love. See, when you begin to drift of your first love, the devil looks at that. Then he starts, let me tell you, when you have to start reasoning and thinking secularly, you better dive back to the feet of Jesus. Hello? Quickly. Because the enemy is on your butt. You know, end up in butt ministry. You'll be doing a lot of butt. Oh, justification. Which is nothing but a lie. Hebrews 12. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let's read it together. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become what? Weary and discouraged. Where? In your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as the sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now, this is powerful because one of the things that the devil loves to do that we must constantly overcome is discouragement. Discouragement. And we are overcoming with the power of God, right? By what? Repentance, speaking the word. Over what? Discouragement. Now, discouragement. Many people get discouraged when God chastens them. In fact, some of them get offended. But without chastening, every believer goes through chastening. If you're not willing to receive the chastening of God, you will receive another spirit. And it ain't dad's. Hello. We are chastened to be corrected. We are chastened to be put back in line in divine order. We are chastened because he loves us and he sees the end result where you are blinded to, because you can't see it all the way through. See, when you maintain the first love of God, you see things all the way through. If he is really your first love. Why? Because once that's preached, the devil comes a blind too. You are able to see things through. Before you do something, you'll see it all the way through. In fact, there's times when, let me tell you, there's times when I know that the Lord shared with me something, and there's something I'd like to do to resolve a circumstance or a problem. But he says no, and I can see it all the way through, and I usually know what the end result's going to be. Does everybody understand? And then I got to deal with it then. But the purpose of it is so the individual can be exposed themselves. Because sometimes people that are rescued before the exposure, they don't get it. You go and expose something, sometimes it's got to be manifested so that they can get it. It's called a live teaching. And then the chastening comes. Amen. And that's where you've got to overcome that, knowing that God loves you. What's he trying to do? Get you back to his first love and to teach you something. That you're not to settle for good. You're to wait for the best. Because he's got something wonderful for you. See, but when we move out of God's time, we're settling for anything else. You know why? Because we've lost our first love. And now we're looking for something for fulfillment and don't even realize it. What happens in discouragement? Discouragement is not established unless you've come in agreement with it. So when you are chastened, you're to be receiving, oh, thank you, Lord, for beating my butt. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, because you love me. Thank you. It don't feel good, but I know you love me. And I love you too. Even David said, though you slay me, I'll still praise you. Because David had a first love affair. And David blew it a few times, I would say. Big time. But he was a man after God's heart. Wasn't he? So when you get chastened by the Lord, don't run from him. Don't be offended. Don't be discouraged. In other words, don't come in agreement, because the devil sees you being chastened by the Lord and he's going to step right in front and say, hi, I'm here to rescue you. Why don't you receive this discouragement? Yeah, come on. I need a meal today. See, the devil gets fed on what your emotions. So he wants you to be discouraged, because if he can discourage you, it can lead to something else, depression. Is everybody okay? Go to Genesis 4. So what are we overcoming? Secular thinking. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Is everybody there? In verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel, his brother, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance what? Now, I want you to look at this, because the Lord was correcting Cain, wasn't he? But Cain rejected the correction and became angry, discouraged, and depressed. Why? You know, some people don't even realize this, but see, Adam and Eve already taught their sons how to offer to the Lord. The correct offering was blood. Why? Because the Lord showed Adam and Eve right in the garden. Remember, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, right? That's other ground, isn't it? The same thing that Cain was going to offer to God. Are you listening? Was the same thing that Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves up with. And the Lord removed the leaves and took an animal and killed it and covered Adam and Eve with the skin of the animal. So when Abel offered, he accepted. When Cain offered, he said, man, that's a wrong offering, dude. Wrong. Has everybody got it? So what did he do? Let's read it. In verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be what? Accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the what? Door. In other words, sin means presence of evil. So if you receive the correction, you'll be okay. If you reject a correction, the devil's going to snag you. And its desire is for what? For you. What? Sin's desire is for you, which sin means presence of evil. Sin's desire is for you. But you shall rule over it. In other words, you shall what? You should overcome it. That's all he had to do was repent, didn't he? And turn back to do the first thing that God told him to do. The same thing we're reading. The correction was rejected. Why? Because of pride. The correction was rejected because of pride. Offense came that led to depression. Is everybody hearing? Let me tell you, when you reject the correction of the Lord and the chastening of the Lord, that is pride. And it will always lead to depression. Is everybody okay? Glory. And that's something we must always overcome. 2 Peter 2. Now, these are warnings of what's coming and what's here right now. How many of y'all know there's a fight going on? It's not getting any easier, is it? Secularism, they're in survive mode, man. I mean, doing everything they can. They're selling out their mothers, sisters, and brothers, and their banks. They're printing their counterfeit money. I mean, come on. The government's printing counterfeit money. It's not even worth anything. Think about it. They don't have the cash to back it up. Hallelujah. They must have a charge card they're using. Second Peter chapter 2. So the world is in survival mode, isn't it? That's secular. Look at what secular thinking brought them. See, you got to come out of survival mode and get in surrender mode. Survival mode to surrender mode. And verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of what? Emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who actually escaped from those who live in error. So they've escaped once already. While they promise them what? Liberty or freedom, they what? They themselves are slaves of corruption. Sound familiar? Sounds like the age we're living in right now, doesn't it? While they promise them liberty and freedom and prosperity and all the other stuff, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into what? Bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, The latter end is worse for them than the what? The beginning. So you've got to be careful, because if you're not overcoming, you're being overcome. Verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and so a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Overcoming false promises spoken by secularism, it will lead to confusion. Is everybody with me? It will always lead to confusion. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, is he? But the devil will always try to bring confusion. The devil wants to set limitations on us by secular thinking. The devil wants to set limitations on us by secular thinking. They are imposed by idols. They are imposed by what? Idols in the heart. These are known as false beliefs, false expectations, even certain false religions. So if you're not overcoming, you're being overcome. In Proverbs 1. Remember, the devil wants to bring you into what? Confusion. Many people move while they're in confusion. They make mistakes. They make decisions. When you're in confusion, you don't do anything. You wait. You run to the throne and not the phone. Hallelujah. Oh, and I mean by also texting also. Hello. Or emails. You know, don't run to the computer. Run to the throne, you know. Hello. Not the TV. Not the refrigerator. Not texting. Not the phone. Not emails.
To the throne.
And not the bathroom. Although some people run to the bathroom sometimes, you know, because sometimes that's the only place you can have peace in the house, you know. So when somebody says you're really in the throne, praise God, you know. Where is he? In the bathroom. Oh, he's praying, though. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, that's where I used to have to run all the time. I spent a lot of time in the bathroom on my knees. That's where I used to speak to the Lord all the time. Till a knock come on the door, you know. Then I had to share it. At least when they came into the bathroom, they came into the anointing, you know. Hallelujah, they got loosed, man, let me tell you. Oh, don't get religious on me. There was no more bondage when I come out of that bathroom, let me tell you. The anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay, where were we? Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 15. Proverbs 1:15. Is everybody there? Read it with me. My son, do not walk in the way up with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. They are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Wow. Greed will take away the life of its owner. Wisdom, what? Calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in open squares. She cries out in the chief concourse and the openings of the gates in the city, and she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called you and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock with your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Now that's powerful, man. Why? Because of greed. Greed is promoted by secularism. Now this is, I really want you to see this all the way through. Because greed is promoted by secularism, but it is punished when it falls out of secular ethics. I think we got confirmation. I want to repeat this again because I want you to get this. Because if you look at it, the whole world is in greed, isn't it? But there is guidelines to greed according to secular ethics, isn't there? But when they fall out of the guidelines according to secular ethics, they punish them. Because of, we must overcome secular thinking. Is everybody okay? Greed promotes poverty. Everybody say greed promotes poverty. Because somebody is legally taken advantage of and becomes impoverished spiritually, economically, and physically. Greed will always promote poverty. But, you know, why? Because it's called carnal morals. Carnal morals. Now, our ethics and morals are from above. Greed promotes what? Poverty. Poverty. And greed is promoted by secularism. It's secular thinking. The world accepts greed, but once they fall, greed falls out of the guidelines of secular ethics, it will be punished. I mean, look at it. I mean, come on, think about this. Look at these guys that have been in greed who have burned the country, burned people, not the country, for $50 billion. I mean, the dude was doing it for 30 years, man. Somebody didn't see this because they approved of it. And others. There's another one that just nipped for $5 billion and another for $500 or $600 million. I mean, it's all over the place because of greed. But you know what it does? It brings poverty to somebody. It always brings poverty. And that's a way of secular thinking. The Bible says that the love of money is the root to all evil. Why? Because it goes back to they've lost their first love. So, and of course, we know that the secular world never had a first love except for self. Is everybody okay? Romans 12. Did you ever hear of somebody who's a workaholic? Well, you have now. They're called workaholics because of greed. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let's read it together, okay? Let love be with what? Without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on what? High things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I like that verse. It's powerful because he says, if it's possible, because, you know, some of those things are just tough. Amen. It's like, man, some people you just got to really put up with, you know. But they'll try to drain you, won't they? Man, they'll try to drain you big time. And some things you just got to put up with and you got to just let the course run and hallelujah. But you can't get soulish. Because if you get soulish, they'll drain you. You know, one day we were casting out a devil And this woman was really demonized, and all these spirits were coming out everywhere. And was boasting how it killed 30 generations of her family and so forth. And finally, when we found, got to this one demon, the demon comes up and says, "Oh, please don't move me here. I like it here." I mean, he started sweet talking us. I was thinking, oh. All of a sudden, I went, "Wait a minute. That's a demon speaking to me. That ain't this person. Wait a minute. I cast that thing out, man. Try to get me in the soulish realm, you know?" But it was my first time really experiencing that little vermin. I mean, this thing just started talking to me all sweet and, "Oh, please don't remove me. I have nowhere to go." Well, you do now. It's called the pit. "I have a room reserved for you there." In verse 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not what? Overcome. Do not be what? Overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good." Yes. Love him to death. From a distance. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 4. You know, we are in perilous times. You know, and as the Lord was giving me this, I was thinking, you know, some of the stuff we've heard already, Lord. And he says, "Listen, this is the same thing that I sent Paul." He said to me, "When I sent Paul, he said, I sent him to remind them, to impart, to encourage, to stir them up, that they stay on top of things." And that's what we're doing. That's why we fellowship every week, you know. I mean, there's things that we do know, but we need to be reminded of some things, you know. Because there might be something that you're dealing right now that you've known before already, but it's slipped you. You've drifted from it. Something has happened. And now you're able to turn around and say, "Wait a minute. Who told me that? And where did you come from?" And you're able to kick butt. Proverbs what? 4. Verse 20. Let's read it. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And do not let them depart from your eyes." From where? Your eyes. "Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And a perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Wow. In other words, keep looking straight. Don't be distracted. Stay in line with what God is telling you and what you've received and what you've been corrected, what you've been chastened, what you have fought for, where you've come from. Stay straight. Stay upright. Go forward and not backwards. Don't be misled by anything. But fight, for it is rightfully yours in the promises and the truth of Christ. Go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them." Why? Because they speak secularism. No reverence of God. Secular ethics, carnal morals. Not from above, but from beneath. "We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of secularism," or error. Go to 1 John 5. Is everybody there? I mean, all you had to do is look over, right? Couldn't miss that one. In verse 2. "By this what? We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." Now, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments, even though that's a part of it. But his commands are what he's telling you to do now. Those are his commandments. What's he telling you to do now? For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, born again is a place, isn't it? It is a place. It's a position. To be in a born-again state of being, you will always overcome the world. If you fall out of that born-again state of being, the world will overcome you. That's where old things have passed away and all things have become new. It is a state of being, and you reflect that as for the three chambers of the tabernacle. And I'm not going to go into that, but you can get the tape. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In other words, you are spiritually connected with the promises of God. And because you are blessed, all of heaven is behind you. Because you can overcome, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony of Christ, the word of God, and by denying ourselves from selfish ambitions. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We commit all things to you, and we repent for any area we've come in agreement with discouragement, where we've rejected your chastening. Lord, where we've moved out of time. Lord, anything that we've done, we repent in any area of fleshly works, dead works. We repent. Wash us thoroughly, Father. Cleanse our spirit, soul, and body and flesh with the blood of Christ, that as we partake of the tree of life, we may be one with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is about.